Let's start off with a little review of the past month that we've had here. We've had a fun month, haven't we? Does anybody remember what we talked about on the first Sunday of the month? Without looking at an old bulletin. I know it was about a month ago. Okay, nobody. That's what I was afraid of. The first of the month, now I understand what happens. The things that happen at the beginning of the month seem like they were 4 months ago, don't they? Chandra keeps reminding me, like, no, that was only a couple weeks ago. At the beginning of the month, we talked about Psalm 51, we talked about David and Bathsheba, and we talked about asking God to create in us a new heart and change since it was the new year. Now, the second week, we had a really awesome, fun time, and we talked about a book of the Bible that starts, I'll give you a hint, starts with M. Malachi. Does anybody remember that? That was a fun Sunday. What did we learn? What's the first thing that God teaches us in that book? Put God first. Well, he tells us something right away. I was laying in bed reading to Tyler, and he asked me, what does the Bible say? And I just read, he loves us. God says, I have always loved you. Chapter 1, verse 2. So it's the second verse. He also says that in chapter 3, verse 6, that I am the Lord and I do not change. Back in chapter 1, verse 6, he says, where's my honor and respect? And then he says, for I am a great king. And we talked about worshiping God with all of our hearts and the honor and respect and giving him that because he is a great king. He is not a small God. And he has always loved us. After Malachi, we kind of overviewed a book of the Bible that talked about a bunch of different kings of Judah, and it starts with Second Chronicles. Good job. So Second Chronicles, man, you guys are just lively today. I'm blown away. So we talked about Second Chronicles, and we overviewed all of these different kings of Judah, and we looked at what happens when kings serve God with their whole heart, what happens when they don't, when they have idols, and what happens when kings serve God with their whole heart. Everything. They don't die. The people are blessed, aren't they? What happens on the reverse side if the kings choose to worship idols and they choose to worship those pagan gods? God's kind of upset. And people are not blessed. And through the stories of the kings, we learned that the only ones that really worshiped God with everything and got rid of all their idols were truly blessed. We cared about God. We learned that God cares more about worship than he cares about the temple, didn't we? We saw that throughout the whole book, because when the kings turned away from God, what happened? God sent people in and they raided the temple and they stole the stuff, because God doesn't care about those things. He cares about what's in your heart. Worship is no good if it's not from your heart, if you're using those symbols. That's not real worship. And we learned that overall, man's tendencies of sin led them to their downfall, and they were exiled to Babylon, right? At the end of the book. And then after that, last week, now this one should be easy. We looked at two books. We overviewed one, and then we read from one. And what were they? Thank you, Daniel Fells. We got someone out there, a young person, nonetheless. Yes. Ezra and Nehemiah, and what does Ezra and Nehemiah talk about? Okay, Nehemiah talks about building the wall of Jerusalem. Ezra talks about the exiles coming back and rebuilding the temple. And what did we learn last week? What is my job when I go home? Build my portion of the wall. What's your job when you go home? The same thing, build your portion of the wall. And what are we building with? Living stones. 1 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 4. For you are coming to Christ, who is the living cornerstone of God's temple. He was rejected by people, but he was chosen by God for great honor. And you are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. What's more, you are holy priests. Through the mediation of Jesus Christ, you offer spiritual sacrifices that please God. As the scriptures say, I am placing a cornerstone in Jerusalem, chosen for great honor. And anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. So I got a question for you this morning. Were you diligent builders this past week? Or did we forget to build our walls when we went home? Did you read your Bible? Did you maybe pray with your family? Be a spiritual leader in your house and build that wall so that when we come together, we've all done our part and we have this spiritual community. Okay, that was just an overview. We had quite a month, didn't we? God laid some pretty challenging messages. I mean, I was challenged. Of course they're going to be challenging. Those of us with human tendencies, I mean, probably found those challenging. Those of you who don't have those tendencies that I do, probably didn't have any problem at all. And we learned that Jesus is our rock. He's our cornerstone. Now, I've got a story that happened at the beginning of the month. And Friday is kind of my day to be with the boys, and it's Chandra's off day because she works so hard with the boys all week. And then Saturday, we kind of spend a family day together. And so this Friday, I don't remember how long ago it was, but I told Chandra, I think I'm going to take the boys. We're going to go eat. We're going to go to some place that has a playground inside so that we can get them out of the house, because you know what kids do when they go crazy, especially boys and they're little, and you know all the bad weather we've had this month. So it was after one of those weeks, and so being the stupid father that I am, I decided to take my 3-year-old and my 20-month-old baby to McDonald's or Burger King to play by myself, nonetheless. So I was feeling spry. I thought I could do it. And Veronica's like, "Are you stupid?" Or she's probably thinking, well, facial expressions, you know. Either that or she's like, you got a problem with that? Chains and muzzles. Anyway, so I loaded the boys up in the car, and we head down to Marshalltown, and Tyler, if you know him, can carry on a conversation. And Diane knows this from Friday. He was carrying on a conversation about some chipmunks and stuff. And while I'm fielding all these questions on the way there, and it got me feeling pretty good. I was like, yeah, you know, I'm pretty good dad answering these questions. He's asking about tractors. Well, where are they? He's telling me that we can't plant because the ground is frozen. And come spring, he's probably going to go work for Ray and run the planter and that sort of thing. And so I'm fielding all these questions. And he asks about every week, "Dad, can you buy me a farm? Maybe, I mean, not right now, but maybe in a couple of weeks, a farm and a tractor." He doesn't quite understand money. And so when we tell him we don't have enough money, he says, "Well, why don't you just go to the store and buy some more?" We've got some things to teach here. His little mind is going, and so they want to go to Burger King, and I'm thinking, you know, Burger King has a really nice play place, but it's not really for Jaren. And McDonald's has this one that's got this little toddler area that you climb up the steps and slide down, but even more than that, I don't really care if he goes up in the big part as long as he can get up there, because he's pretty big and he's not scared, and Tyler's up there to watch out with him, and McDonald's has this spiral staircase thing that Jaren, Chris is shaking her head, yeah. And it goes all the way up to the top, and then, hey, they're gone for a little bit, and you yell, "Tyler!" He's like, "What? Where's Jaren? Hold on. He's in the car, Daddy. He's okay. We're okay." And so I'm thinking, okay, let's go to McDonald's. And I tell him, ask him, "Hey, you want to go to McDonald's?" He says, "No, I want to go to Burger King." I'm like, oh, man. Well, this was back when the chipmunks came out with their squeakle, and we had taken Tyler back when we were in Ohio to go and see that, and so he's like a chipmunk crazy guy. And McDonald's had chipmunks at that point in their Happy Meals, so, you know, bud, McDonald's has chipmunks, and if we get Happy Meals, you can get toys, and he gets all, "Oh, man, well, let's go to McDonald's so I can get my chipmunks, and I want to get them all, Dad. I want all the boys and all the grills." They're grills, not girls. "And then I want Jaren to have all the boys and all the girls." And I think he said that not so much that they could have more, but so that he wouldn't have to share his with Jaren. And so then I explained to him, you know, we only get two. We get one in each Happy Meal. And so what one do you want? And so he thinks a little bit, "The green one, Dad. I want the green boy and grill." I said, "Well, you're going to have to get one, and Jaren's going to get the other." "Okay, well, let's get the green one." So we get to McDonald's, and it's Friday, and it's 11:30. Now, I'm thinking, it's a Friday. People are working. It's not Saturday. It's probably not going to be as busy. Wrong. Apparently, every stay-at-home mom had the same idea I did today, and the place was just completely packed. So we walk in there, and I'm carrying Jaren here, and Tyler's holding onto my pocket, and I've got the diaper bag here. And I'll just tell you something. Jaren's not quite two, and he's 27.5 pounds. 3.5 pounds away from Tyler. So I'm carrying this 27.5-pound bag of potatoes in here, and I'm looking around, I'm like, we're going to be standing here for a while. So we stand, and you know, you make your way, and you, somehow you learn to shift and switch the bag, because this arm, after a while, starts cramping up, and you got to let it down and work it out a little bit. And so I switch Jaron over to this arm, and we finally get up there to order, and I tell her the orders. I said, okay, we want two Happy Meals, and we want a green boy and a green grill chipmunk. And she was real nice about it. She says, you know, I think we might be out of one of the greens, but we'll see what we can do. And I said, that's fine. If you don't have to, just throw a different one in. And so she did, and we go back and we sit down. And of course, you know, McDonald's has these nice high chairs. Do you think there were any left? So I'm holding this 27.5-pound bear. I can't set him down because he's going to be gone. You'd be surprised at how fast he can climb stairs, and I'm not going to get him. And so I'm looking around, and all these tables are empty because all the kids are playing. And there's all these empty high chairs, and I was thinking, should I just go and take one? But we have a rule that you have to eat first and then go play. Other people, they go play and then come back and eat. So I didn't want to cause a problem. You know, one of those moms comes start beating me with her purse for taking her kid's high chair. And so I'm holding Jaron, and I set the tray down, and my pop's there, and I open up one of the Happy Meals to get Tyler's stuff out. And they didn't have two green girls. They only had a Simon and a Theodore. And so Simon wasn't the one Tyler wanted, but that happened to be the Happy Meal that I opened up. And I opened it up thinking like their chocolate milks are in there, but they weren't. And so they had left off two chocolate milks. And so I pull out Tyler's hamburger and his fries, and I say, sit here, say your prayers, and start eating. I got to go get your chocolate milks with Jaron, and I'll be right back, because I can't leave Jaron alone. And so I pick this guy back up, and I head up to the front, and I get up there, and I kind of weasel my way to the front. You know, I'm carrying a big Jaron here. And I get up there, and I say, hey, I'm sorry, but we didn't get our chocolate milks. He's like, oh, that's too bad. I'll go get those. And apparently everybody else wanted to drink chocolate milk that day too. And so he opens up the cooler, and there's only one chocolate milk. So he looks at me and says, I got to go get some more. And so he disappears. It was probably at least 5 minutes. It was probably like one, but it seemed like 5 minutes, because by this time my arm is now, it's going to be in this position for the next week, and I'm going to have Chandra work it out. And, it, you know, try carrying around 27.5 pounds like this for like 15 minutes and kind of starts to hurt. And so he goes back and he whips out a couple chocolate milks, and I take Jaron back to the back. And here's Tyler standing up over the tray just looking. And I come back, and as I get a little closer, I see that somehow my medium to large Coke has been tipped over inside the tray. And Tyler's standing there, and I've got no place to set Jaron down because he's going to start doing this on the tray. And you know what that does is it splatters Coke everywhere. And so I said, okay, buddy, just sit down. And I go and I get a handful of napkins, and I come over, and luckily, the Happy Meals box has kind of slowed down the Coke. I mean, there's about 3/4 inch of Coke in that tray starting to soak up in my fries and my hamburger. And so I had kind of a soggy bottom bun and stuff. And so I pulled all the stuff out. I just threw the tray away. We sat down and we ate. Well, what happened was, the Happy Meal that I opened didn't have the green toy in it. And even though I told Tyler that, don't open this box, we'll get the other toy out after you're done eating, he didn't think that he could wait that long. So I was gone. He reached over to the box, hit the straw, knocked the Coke over. I don't even know if he pulled the toy out at that point or if he just kind of stared and was like... Sometimes when he doesn't know what to do, he says, Dad, I don't know what to do. So it's... I said, it's okay, buddy. I'll fix it. So, you know, I told him it was okay, and, you know, it's crazy in there. And we sat down, and we ate our soggy food. Now, you might be thinking, what in the world does that have to do with anything? Well, let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. I want to read verses 1 through 10. You know, God let a lot of challenges in our hearts this month, and just a lot of wake-up calls, and Ephesians chapter 10 was, or Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, he just led me to this week, just as a father talking to his son. It says, once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins, you used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. But God is so rich in mercy. And he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness toward us, as shown in all that he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the things he planned for us long ago. Do you hear that? I'm his masterpiece. You are God's masterpiece. And as I spent that time with my boys that day, I really felt God was teaching me. He says, Nathan, this is our relationship. You see, I'm that little boy who can't sit still. God hands me a package, and it's on the straight and narrow way. But the devil in the world, he's putting all these packages to the left and the right, and sometimes I can resist temptation and just stick with what he's given me. But other times, I step off the path and I open up one of those boxes that wasn't put there for me. And what happens when I do that is I make a big mess. In my relationship with God is that when I ask for help, God is there with a big handful of napkins ready to clean up that mess. Now, it's true that he doesn't always take away the consequences of my sins and my downfalls. I still had to eat a soggy hamburger that day. I still tasted Coke on my fries. But you know what? He is a father who loves his son as a masterpiece. And treats me that way, even in my sin. Even when I make a mess, he picks me up, he makes me clean, comforts me, fills my cup back up, and then he keeps on loving me. God loves me so much, and his love never fails me, even at my worst, and that is why I want to worship him with my life. There are so many reasons to worship God, and yes, we've looked at God being omniscient and God just being powerful and not a small God and such a great and awesome God, but you know what drives me to worship him more than anything else? It's the way that he loves me. It's the way that he shows me love, and it's the way that we have that relationship. And God loves you so much, and he wants that worship from you, not from fear, not from duty, but because he loves you. And he wants you to love him back. So as you go this week, I love the hymn, Count Your Many Blessings. Think about so many ways that God has shown you his love. Worship him. He's your father, and he loves you all the time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would write the words of Ephesians on our heart, Father God, that we are your masterpiece and that you do love us and you saved us because you love us as your masterpiece. Help us to seek that relationship with you, Father God, and to understand in our hearts that you are a father who loves his children as a father loves children who are going to sin and who are going to mess up, but you're still there. You're still there to comfort us when we ask, and you're still there to help us clean up our hearts and fill our cups back up. And we know that you have always loved us and that you do not change and you always will love us. We thank you for that. Amen.